Spotlight. Good evening, listeners. Welcome to today's Spotlight. I am Deeksha Saxena, and today we will be discussing about the India-EU Free Trade Agreement. We have with us Ambassador Manjeev Puri. Ambassador Puri, welcome to Akashvani News.
Thank you, Deeksha.
India-EU Free Trade Agreement has concluded today. It is being termed as a strategic breakthrough in India's global trade engagement. The negotiations were started in 2007 on India-EU FTA, but in 2013 it was left due to difference in scope and expectations from the deal. On 17th June 2022, the European Union relaunched negotiations with India for a free trade agreement and launched separate negotiations for an investment protection agreement and an agreement on geographical indications, GIs. Negotiations for a free trade agreement were concluded on 27th January 2026, that is today. So before we progress any further in the discussion, let's first listen to Prime Minister Narendra Modi as he speaks about the benefits of the FTA and he described this as a blueprint for shared prosperity.
Aaj Bharat ne apne itihas ka, ab tak ka, sabse bada free trade agreement sampann kiya hai. Yeh ek ऐतिहासिक समझौता हमारे किसानों हमारे छोटे उद्योगों इसके यूरोपियन मार्केट तक पहुंच आसान बनाएगा मैन्युफैक्चरिंग में नए अवसर पैदा करेगा और हमारे सर्विसेज सेक्टर के बीच सहयोग को और प्रबल करेगा इतना ही नहीं यह एफटीए भारत और यूरोपियन यूनियन के बीच इन्वेस्टमेंट को बूस्ट करेगा नई इनोवेशन पार्टनरशिप बनाएगा और वैश्विक स्तर पर सप्लाई चेन को मजबूत करेगा यानी यह सिर्फ ट्रेड एग्रीमेंट नहीं है यह साझा समृद्धि का नया ब्लूप्रिंट है
Ambassador Puri, first of all, before we delve into the discussions and the details of this agreement, can you tell us why is it being referred to as the mother of all deals?
Today is a very positive red letter. I say that because A, it brings the world's two largest democracies together, but it also brings two of the world's largest economies, free market economies together, India and the European Union. The European Union is the world's second largest economy, only after the United States and much bigger than China as China is today. It's also a very big player on the global. But India is climbing the ladder. We are right now the fourth largest economy. We are growing up in terms of our trade bar. What is it that we want in India? Our great goal is Viksit Bharat by 2047. We need to go from about $3.5-4 trillion to $5 trillion, $6 trillion, maybe even 10 if possible. What do you need for that? You need capital. You need technologies in big manner. Who has them? The European Union has them. Several others also. The European Union has them. We are trusted partners, as was mentioned by President of the Council, Antonio da Costa, and by Ursula von der Leyen, President of the European Commission. It is, therefore, a meeting ground of those two economies, which are huge, big, which have shared interests, which have shared principles. And when we work together, it can only mean shared prosperity for both, but also, I believe, for humankind as such, in particular, the global south.
Very, very rightly said, Ambassador Puri. So, before we progress any further, I would also like to tell the listeners that India will get an unprecedented market access. Over 99% of Indian exports gain preferential entry into the European Union, and it unlocks a massive growth potential. Can you break this down for our listeners? What does it exactly mean, Ambassador Puri?
So, Deeksha, you know, one, we should understand that many of the products that we export to the European Union are products which are where we benefit by having lower costs of production. Secondly, the European Union had been giving preferential trade benefits, tariff benefits, to what are called least developed economies. Bangladesh is a case in point. A whole lot of textile exports from India over the past several years shifted to Bangladesh because they had tariff preferences and we didn't have tariff preferences. This agreement neutralizes that, in a sense, helps us get jobs back to India because many Indians were the investors in Bangladesh. It gets us back. Secondly, what does it do? It opens the way not only for things that we've been exporting. My understanding is it opens the way for European companies to invest in India, take advantage of our skill sets, our huge abilities at being able to deliver in a much more cost-effective manner and given the facts of the trade, be able to re-export back to their countries and in fact export across the world.
As you have mentioned, Ambassador Puri, even the President of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, she also said that this deal will be very beneficial for all the stakeholders. So first, let's listen to her words and then we'll progress in the program.
We did it. We delivered the mother of all deals. We are creating a market of 2 billion people, and this is the tale of two giants, the world's second and fourth largest economies, two giants who choose partnership in a true win-win fashion. A strong message that cooperation is the best answer to global challenges. This trade will integrate further our supply chain and strengthen our joint manufacturing power. It will cut up to 4 billion euros in annual tariffs for exporters of all sizes, and it will create good jobs for millions of workers here in India and in Europe.
Ambassador Puri, the India-EU FTA gives a decisive boost to India's labor-intensive sectors such as textiles, apparels, leather, footwear, marine products, gems and jewelry and much more. So according to you, how is it going to help the labor-intensive sectors, as I've already mentioned? What benefits will it add?
So I mentioned to you, Diksha, first of all, this business of equalizing the tariffs that least developed countries got. Bangladesh is the biggest case in point. The entire business of textiles, which for years people felt was going to Bangladesh and going out of India. Several of the other areas that we are talking about, preferential tariffs allows you to be able to reach out, compete with ASEAN countries, also compete with China, because tariff preferences really do make a difference. Remember, vis-a-vis China, we have an advantage of being closer. There's been some reference to IMEC, closer connectivity, the costs of doing business come down. All of these particular things add up. But the key thing is, here is the enablers provided by the government. Here are the enablers provided by the institutional mechanism. Now it's really up to industry, both in India and the European Union, to take advantage. My understanding is both are interested. Both want to do things. And I hope that next year or 2027, whenever this agreement hopefully will come into force, after all the processes have been done at the European end, it will mark a significant beginning for both the economies to take their own shared prosperity forward, also to be much greater partners for greater global growth.
Ambassador Puri, also, I would like to understand from you, how is the FTA facilitating the cooperation in critical areas like AI, clean technologies and semiconductors, supporting India's technological advancement?
So, Diksha, again, we must understand this. While we are, of course, very sanguine that we've done a great deal of work on digital public infrastructure and so on, the Europeans are, in various senses, next to the Americans and the Chinese in terms of having these technologies and having the money to use these technologies. You know, when you put these things together, our capacities, capabilities, our skilled manpower, and the fact that we are setting up data centers, etc., we allow both sides to work together. The critical thing in all this, what companies look for, they look for trust, they look for certainty, legal certainty is very important for countries. They're willing to take care of many other things, but there's legal certainty with these agreements. And so therefore, we opened the way not only for the old traditional exports to be boosted, but in newer areas. Can we do much more in services? Why not? We have skilled manpower greatly available. If, let me say, things are becoming more difficult to station your people across the Atlantic, here are the European countries, an equally big economy, an equally interested in economy in having skilled people who can work on IT, on artificial intelligence and all of that. So each of these things opens up.
Ambassador Puri, also, India has safeguarded its sensitive agricultural products and dairy sector and has given no market access to the EU. Your comments on this?
Well, it was very important. It's politically very sensitive in India. And the EU realized that it was very sensitive. There was no way India would agree to several other, let me say, sweeteners if EU simply insisted that they needed to have an entree into the agricultural sector in India. They knew that India would just not agree because it's politically unpalatable. It's not possible to do. And there's very good reason, given that about 45% of India's population is dependent upon agriculture. My understanding is, transatlantic turbulence made the EU realize that life isn't just comfortable across the Atlantic and with the Chinese. You had to look for multi-alignment. Here was a country which was an old partner, which was a trusted partner, Let's agree to keep something on the back burner, even though it's important for us domestically, because we are building a relationship which is of a much greater, bigger order and which can have great benefits to us. And so therefore, they turned around, took the necessary steps on that count. We, of course, were strong and steadfast and rightly so, defended our position on that. They accepted that.
Also, Ambassador Puri, one very interesting thing happened today while the joint press meeting. The EU Council President Antonio Costa proudly displayed his overseas Citizen of India card.
I'm the President of the European Council, but I'm also an overseas Indian citizen. Then, as you can imagine, for me, it has a special meaning. I'm very proud of my roots in Goa, where my father's family came from. And the connection between Europe and India is something personal to me. Also because we conclude today our trade negotiations.
How do you view this? When he acknowledged that the president said that he's very proud of his Indian roots, his roots in Goa. How do you view this?
You know, not many people recall, but Antonio da Costa was the first person of Indian origin to become a leader in Europe when he became Prime Minister of Portugal somewhere in 2015-2016. And did you know that he was also a recipient of the Pravasi Bharatiya Samman? So it's not only that in 2016 or 17 that he was the chief guest in Bangalore at the Pravasi Bharatiya Divas, but he was the awardee also. So look, certainly this was important. It felt very good and excellent, but let's be very clear. Antonio da Costa and others, they know him. They trust India. We are a democracy. Ursula von der Leyen, who may not have these relationships, also knows India. So do their negotiators. And they trust us. They know that we are a democracy and open society. But above all, I'm sure they've safeguarded their interests. They looked at it in a holistic manner, just as we've safeguarded our interests. Nation states work on these things. Civilizational ties are important. They build chemistry, which is also very important. At the end of the day, I think we are mature governments, mature member states of the global community, and we know how to look after our interests nationally as nation states. Both sides have done it, which is why there is shared prosperity in such a comprehensive agreement.
Lastly, Ambassador Puri, since we are progressing towards the end of the discussion, EU has become the 22nd FTA partner of India. So, since 2014, India has signed trade deals with a number of countries. And in 2025, India signed a trade deal with Oman, UK and also New Zealand. So, in your opinion, how the world is viewing at India and how India is becoming a lucrative partner for countries globally?
Diksha, there are only about 5 geographies in the world with whom we have more than $100 billion in trade. The EU, the United States, UAE, ASEAN and China. Now, one of them is, for geopolitical reasons, very difficult for us to have what we may call a free trade agreement, even though India-China trade is really of a very large order. You have no choice in the matter. You need to have bilateral arrangements in place. And so, therefore, necessity, as they say, is the mother of invention. We've done what we had to do. We've always counted the pennies and the dollars and tried to see what happens. The Europeans, they are the old, as they say, colonial power. They know everything. They've been there, done that. They fight for every cent and dollar or penny and euro, if I may say so. And life was difficult getting along. In some ways, if I may say so quite openly, a nudge from across the Atlantic Ocean meant that they decided that, look, it was in their interest to lower their sort of expectations and their push. And we realized that, look, we have to build multi-alignment in real sense, not just in talk, but walk this particular talk. And this is what resulted in this. Frankly, everybody saw it for many years, but to bring it to fruition, you'd sometimes need that little nudge. That's important. But I'm glad it's happened.
Listeners, you can listen to this program on a mobile app, News on AIR, and on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. Ambassador Puri, thank you so much for sparing your valuable time and giving us such deep insights on the historic trade deal between India and EU today.
Thank you.
Spotlight.